Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Jedi Templar Reflections, brought to you by Jedi Relics Radio on Blog Talk Radio. And as always, I am your host, MJ Hannigan. And hi, how's it going? I don't know about where you're at right now, physically or even mentally or spiritually, but right now, I'm actually in a damn good place. I'm out here at Chisholm Trail out here in Wichita, Kansas, and it's kind of need to get away for the day. I need to take some time to myself and just get some reflections going. I had no intentions on doing an episode today, and I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to talk about for the next 15 to 30 minutes, but I guess we'll find out as we go. Everything is just so interesting right now. So many people are living in fear of the coronavirus. And I just find it staggering. I find it staggering about how many people are living in fear. How many people don't have jobs right now? How many people are just truly suffering mentally and emotionally right now? I don't know if anybody else has picked up on it, but there's so much suffering right now. There's so much pain and there's so much anguish. And to be honest, last night, it kicked the shit out of me. It really hit me hard realizing what types of times we're in. And you would think this would be a time that would bring people together. But I've noticed even more and more, it's actually driving people apart. It's getting people to go into isolation. It's getting people to not care about the world around them. It's getting people to just simply say, screw it, I give up. And you know, for me, it's strange knowing that people are doing that. It's always been strange to me. It's always been strange to me that how much I don't give a fuck attitude there really is in this world. And you would think in these times of deep suffering and deep sorrow that people would stop. People would try to have empathy, try to have understanding towards other, you know, other people in their lives. And it doesn't seem that way. And for me, it's also really strange watching people walk around covering their face with masks. And I've seen some really interesting masks, mind you. It seems as if we're getting to such an impersonal level. People don't want to see other people because they might get sick. You know what? That's going to lead to nothing but more isolation. It's actually going to harden more hearts than save lives. But, you know, that's kind of whatever. So I guess today we're going to talk about, you know, understanding emotions and how these things change us. You know, for one thing, a common emotional break for a lot of us is loss. Loss could be that of a loved one, a pet, a relationship, and friend groups. This loss, think about ourselves, what we did wrong, what we could have done different, and playing the what-if game. And the what-if game pisses me off to no end because it's a waste of time. What if and if only are nothing but a waste of time. But the worst thing about loss is loss, for most people, hardens hearts. When we get into a relationship and a relationship ends, our hearts harden. And then repeat, rinse, repeat, you know, our hearts become harder and harder with each relationship that we lose. And then we get to the point where we just emotionally have checked out. You know, I could think Sarah is one who often pointed out that I'm very emotionally detached. I have very high walls, and very few people have ever gone over them. maybe one or two. And most likely, if you're listening and you know about my life and know about me, you don't know anybody who's ever actually gone over my walls. That part is what it is. In the Jelly Rollers community, one thing I've noticed too with the loss is it makes people a lot more edgy. You know, we have people creating dozens of alternate accounts to go into different groups just to see what they're doing. You know what? If your loss has made you so skeptical, and so you need to create other Facebook accounts just to spy on people, you really need a life. You really need to reestablish your own boundaries and ask yourself why it matters. Why does this group of people matter to you? You know, the Jedi group that I am no longer a part of since, what, June 1st of last year, I really don't care. I really don't care what they're up to. I'm not bored enough to create a fake account just to spy on them. Because, honestly, what damn good does that do anyway? And it's funny, I was in my own group today, which I haven't gone too much lately. And I was just kind of noticing all, like, the ridiculous fake-ass names that people are using and administrators put them in. And I just find it funny. I find it funny that people have to use fake accounts. You know, like, why go into somebody's house under an alternative name and mask? You know, is that really a trustworthy thing? Does that create bonds? Does that create friendship? I personally don't think so. But in any event, yeah, suffering loss, it can do a lot of damage to you. It can make you a harder person. It can make you a colder person. It can make you more and more ruthless. Trust me, in a lot of ways, that's the type of person I once was. That's the type of person I was before I moved to Pittsburgh and started, in a sense, redoing my 12-step program, kind of, sort of, an abbreviated version of it. That wasn't just to deal with narcotics, but it was to deal with mental and emotional loss and breakdown. Sorry about that. Again, today's episode is not planned. It's kind of felt the vibe to do it, so here we are. The loss can make you stronger. Loss can make you understand that there are a lot of sick people out there. And there, you know, I'm talking about sick. I'm not talking about the coronavirus and stuff like that. I'm talking about there are a lot of sick people. There are a lot of people who are suffering. And these people want to create havoc in other people's lives so they feel good. These people want to destroy other people's lives simply because if my life sucks, but I could destroy this other person and make their life worse, that'll make my life better. Yeah, there are people who actually do have that mindset. And it's a shame, particularly in the Jelly Rollers community. It's an absolute shame. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, when you deal with loss, you have to go through a grieving process. You have to go, you know, we all do it. You know, why wasn't I enough for this person or for this group? Why wasn't my love strong enough to keep a relationship going? You know, these are all questions we ask ourselves. And we grieve and we mourn. And then the next day we get up and we start our lives over again. It really is that simple. But, you know, deal with loss. How do you deal with it? You know, write it down for yourself. Write it on your mirror, whatever. And when you write it down, say, you know what? This loss will not destroy me. And figure out how you're going to make yourself stronger because of that loss and not let that loss beat you. Another suffering that goes on, you know, mental illness, you know, bipolar, manic depressive. And this is the category I really can't talk on simply because, as you guys all know, I'm a very not smart person. and I don't have any awesome degrees to go with this. So I'm gonna have to make a hard pass on this one simply because, you know, it is what it is. Another one, regrets. I'm gonna admit, I live a life without regrets. I have no regrets for any of the decisions that I have made and for what their consequences were. I am good. There are things that I'm kind of sad about. You know, there are things that have brought about suffering that I had nothing to do with, but they were decisions that were made that I had to feel the consequences of. You know, and that is what it is as well. But regrets, why do you have regrets? What good are is regrets? You know, regrets, same as like the what if and if only, they are a waste of time. They are a waste of energy, or they are clearly a waste of headspace. Because all they're going to do is put you back into suffering and put you into mourning. And that's not going to do anything good for you. But if you do have regrets, if you do suffer from that syndrome, you have to ask yourself, why do you regret the decisions that you made? Was it just because the end result? Like, you know, if you're an active addict and you're using drugs and you got arrested and you got put in jail, do you regret the use of drugs or do you regret that you got put in jail? Yeah, the drugs did lead to you going to jail. Why did that happen? What led to the drug abuse in the first place? You know, you can't regret the drugs. You can only, you know, that's just a symptom. You know, you have to figure out, you have to go into the cause. Because if you don't heal the cause, you know, you're going to go back into active addiction very quickly. But, you know, what do you regret in your life? What decisions that you have made that caused pain and suffering to other people that you regret? Once you find that out, you can set up a plan to do something about it. You can set up a plan to make an amends. You could set up a plan to, you know what, I cannot make amends to this person for whatever reasons, but you can move forward and make sure that you don't let that happen again. You know, set up a game plan. It is, you know, it's cool. It is what it is. Another major source of suffering, kind of already covered it, but we'll kind of talk about it again. Rejection and failure. Oh, yes, failure. You know, Yoda said in one of the Star Wars movies that failure was a great teacher. And in truth, it is. But in truth, it's not. Failure can teach us what we've done wrong. But once you've learned that lesson and moved on, it'll lead you to later success. So temporary setbacks are not failures. Failure is when you completely give up. When you just say, screw it, this relationship isn't worth it. This group isn't worth it. This friendship isn't worth it. And you just give up. That's what failure is. Failure is giving up on yourself too soon. Failure is giving up on other people too soon. Rejection, we've all dealt with rejection. You know, if you're in your 30s and 40s and have not been rejected by somebody you're trying to court, then you had a really interesting life. But other than that, yeah, it is what it is. Okay, moving on, moving on, moving on. All right. Yeah. Talked about this before, that expression that time heals all wounds. I hope everybody's already accepted the fact that's bullshit. Time doesn't heal wounds. Time does nothing but harden your heart and makes you more and more emotionally unavailable. Other things that, you know, suffering is lead well might lead you to, you know, you expect the worst. You expect that, you know, why open myself to a group? Why open myself up to a relationship when I know the end result? It's fucking insanity. it purely is insanity when you think about it. You know, the relationship cycle of things. We find somebody, we fall in love or lust. Majority is just lust. We go through a relationship cycle, we go through a bad breakup, we suffer, and then we do that shit all over again. That's the insanity of our lives, but, you know, it goes, you know, it is what it is. And every time we think, you know, this will be the last time, this will be the last relationship, because I'm so in lust, I mean, in love with this person, yada, yada, yada. Then it happens again. But then we move into a protective state. You know, we make ourselves emotionally unavailable. You know, again, I could talk about my three last real relationships and how emotionless they have made me. I could talk about how horrible my divorce was. I could talk about how devastated I was after the last long-term relationship. When I say long-term, I'm talking like 2 months. Not much for a relationship person, which I'll actually get into. I could talk about my 2 or 3 month relationship, you know, from Michigan. I could talk about all that. And I could talk about the pain. And I could talk about the suffering. And I could talk about how each of those situations led me to have a colder heart. Each of those situations led me to, you know, just say, you know what, one night stands are a lot easier. No attachments, no nothing. And it really is a lot easier. Call the person a couple of days later, say what's up, see what happens. You know, it is what it is. You know, that's a cycle now I'm looking to break. I'm looking to stop with the right nows and end up in an actual relationship. And again, go back to the pattern of protecting myself. You know, it was easier to just have hookups than have relationships. You know, from that, I was protecting myself from being emotionally hurt. Because if you don't get emotionally bonded into an individual, then you won't hurt. So, you know, I make a joke a lot on Facebook, you know, for the Jedi, attachments are forbidden, but one night stands are free game. I wasn't exactly joking. And apparently the car next to me is leaving. I wasn't exactly joking when I said that, because it's actually very true. And it was my way of protecting myself. You know, I protect myself from making myself emotionally unavailable. I protect myself from not allowing myself to fall. Not allowing myself to, hey, you know what, this is a wonderful girl. She has a lot going on. She's a great personality, whatever. But I'd immediately put up my walls. I would put up my walls. I put up my walls, I guess is the right terminology to use. Because, again, I need to protect myself. I need to protect my mental, emotional state. The only problem is I'm working so hard at protecting myself of, you know, one of those people, one of those awesome women I was with could have been the real love I've been searching for. So I'm protecting myself to what? Only set myself up to be emotionally unavailable, to be a very cold-hearted individual. Was that really it's in my best interest? Those are the issues I was weighing with last night. Those issues were really beating me down. It was like, you know, hey, this life is fun. This life is wonderful. But this life isn't going to be that satisfied life that you really want. So now I'm sitting here working on finding ways to lower my walls and lower my barriers until, you know, see where life takes. See what happens. I also noticed over the past few months that I've set myself apart from my friends. I don't call anybody. My real friends. I haven't called any of them. I've been keeping to myself, and I have not invested in people the way that I should have. And when I came back to Kansas, I kind of acknowledged that and, you know, making those changes. All right, a couple last minute things to talk about. Live in a moment. Life is friggin' incredible. Even though we're surrounded by the coronavirus and we're surrounded by this fear, go live your life. Go see where life takes you. Go reach out to people. Rebuild your friendships. Rebuild your bonds. And realize, dude, this coronavirus, what it should make people realize, not I need to alienate myself to avoid my sickness. It should make you understand how precious life is and how it can change in a heartbeat. I have seen so many big changes in my life. The coronavirus scare, Y2K. Shit, before that was, you know, we lived under the threat of terrorism. I grew up in the Cold War. Not a damn thing going on. Awesome. And then terrorism hit. And now a virus is sweeping no nation. Blah, blah, blah. You know, for everybody dumb enough to sit here and freak out because the United States is the number one country of coronavirus right now, you guys, you also have to understand how big our damn country is. So the fact that we now have more deaths in the United States than there is in Italy, because Italy is the size of Florida. Of course we're going to have more deaths. You would be stupid and arrogant to think that a country this big with this much population wouldn't have the highest level of coronavirus cases and mortality. It's just stupid to think anything other than that. But in any event, if you're suffering, guys, make sure you guys reach out. You know, and if you are trying to take down your walls and your boundaries, make sure you reach out to other people. Let go of any blame. Anything that's plaguing you, let go of blame. Even if the blame's not yours, A, don't take blame that's not yours. And B, when you blame other people for harming you, people for bashing you, whatever, guys, just understand these people are sick. These people are suffering, and they just want you to suffer a little more than they are. You know, as always, seek help if you need it. Don't be afraid to reach out. If you're suffering these times, and you're suffering isolation, and you're mentally and emotionally suffering, reach out to your friends. It's not weakness to reach out to your friends for help. It's actually a sign of strength. It takes nothing to take your life. It takes nothing. But it takes a lot to have the courage to admit that you need help, to admit that you're suffering, and to reach out. That's the biggest sign of courage. All right, guys, that's pretty much it for today. Again, sorry, it's not the most structured episode I've ever done. It is what it is. Sometimes we have them, sometimes we don't. And if this message touched you on any level, if this message was a waste of time, I apologize. But as always, thanks for listening. Remember, there's nothing stronger than a broken man who has rebuilt himself. Love and light. This is Hannigan. I'm out.